sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. February marks the fourth anniversary of 9/11 Wake Up Call. The very first show aired on February 12, 2008, on WWUH. In May of 2010, the show also began to air on WESU. To commemorate this fourth anniversary, I'm going to re-air my very first show. And then next week, I'll be providing an update on the 9/11 Truth Movement over the last 4 years. And now here's the very first edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call, which, if I remember correctly, took me many, many weeks to produce. And here it is. Hello, listeners, and welcome to the first edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. There's now an enormous amount of scholarly evidence and expert testimony that clearly demonstrates that the official story of 9/11 is a sham. In spite of the mainstream corporate media's blackout of any of this evidence, the belief that the official story of 9/11 is a sham is no longer a fringe position. A Zogby poll taken in May of 2006 indicated that 42% of the American people believed that the U.S. government and its 9/11 commission concealed critical evidence that contradicts their official explanation of the September 11 attacks. In August of 2006, a Scripps Ohio University poll showed that 36% of the public believed that federal officials either participated in the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon or took no action to stop them because they wanted the U.S. to go to war in the Middle East. A story in Time magazine referring to this second poll wrote, quote, 36% adds up to a lot of people. This is not a fringe phenomena. This is a mainstream political reality, unquote. Again, the body of evidence challenging the official story and pointing to an inside job is overwhelming. But I hope you will not take my word for that, but will check out the evidence for yourself. I'll be sharing some great websites, books, and films with you throughout the broadcast to get you started if 9/11 truth is new to you or if you want to continue to learn more about it. Why is revealing the truth about 9/11 so important? It's vitally important because 9/11 has been used by this administration as the rationale for its endless war on terror that has resulted so far in the illegal attacks on Afghanistan and Iraq and the threat to attack Iran. The collapse of the three World Trade Center buildings is what psychologically prepared Americans for this so-called war on terror. It has also been exploited to pass the Constitution-destroying Patriot Act, as well as many other presidential directives that further threaten the Bill of Rights. It has been used to justify torture, privatization, huge Pentagon budgets, an executive power grab, secret renditions, secret prisons, spying on U.S. citizens, loss of individual privacy, a restricted press, paramilitary forces paid with your tax dollars, and the list goes on. Over 1 million people have died in Iraq and Afghanistan due to this so-called endless war on terror, along with over 3,000 U.S. soldiers. We need what social analyst George Lakoff calls a strategic initiative, a plan in which a change in one critical area has automatic reverberating effects in many, many, many other realms. I think 9/11 truth is that critical area. I want to mention a book that's brilliant, scary as hell, and a must read. The book is called The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism. The author, Naomi Klein, exposes the free trade and globalization ideologies that disguise a conspiracy to privatize war and disaster and grab public property for the rich. What she describes as the shock doctrine is the use of public disorientation following massive collective shocks, such as wars, terrorist attacks, natural disasters, to push through highly unpopular economic shock therapy. Disaster capitalism is the rapid-fire corporate re-engineering of societies that are reeling from shock. This tactic comes out of the University of Chicago's Economics Department under Milton Friedman. This has been used around the globe, but also here in the U.S. after 9/11. Klein states in the Shock Doctrine, quote, "What happened in the period of mass disorientation after the attacks was, in retrospect, a domestic form of economic shock therapy. The Bush team quickly moved to exploit the shock that gripped the nation to push through its radical vision of a hollow government in which everything from war fighting to disaster response was a for-profit venture. The Bush team created a whole new framework for its actions. The war on terror, built to be private from the start. The White House used this omnipresent sense of peril in the aftermath of 9/11 to dramatically increase the policing, surveillance, detention, and warmongering powers of the executive branch. Then those newly enhanced and richly funded functions of security, invasion, occupation, and reconstruction were immediately outsourced, handed over to the private sector to perform at a profit," unquote. And all of this was instituted without a public debate. But as Klein says, eventually shock wears off and people start to resist. I think the shock is wearing off for more and more Americans as we see our democracy, our economy, and our civil liberties rapidly falling apart. Since 9/11 was the shock that was exploited by the Bush administration, it's no surprise that the interest in 9/11 truth keeps growing. The 9/11 Truth Movement would like a new and independent investigation of the events surrounding that fateful day. We'll talk more about the 9/11 Commission report and why it was a whitewash in later broadcasts. For listeners who would like to read more about this, David Ray Griffin, a retired professor and theologian, has written a book called The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. You'll be amazed at what the commission left out or distorted. David Ray Griffin has also written the book The New Pearl Harbor, which challenges the official story with solid evidence. If you're new to the 9/11 Truth Movement, The New Pearl Harbor is a good place to start. The 9/11 Truth Movement continues to grow. There are websites of pilots for 9/11 Truth, architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice, to mention just a few. These groups are solid professional groups that are doing amazing things to advance the scientific research on 9/11. We'll be talking more about them and with them in more detail in future broadcasts. In addition to the pilots, architects, and engineers who are interested in 9/11 truth, there are also some celebrities that question the official story of 9/11. I'm sure that most of you are aware of Charlie Sheen and Rosie O'Donnell publicly questioning the official story. There's another actor who supports 9/11 truth, and that's Ed Asner. This past November, I was part of a group of citizens for a new 9/11 investigation that put on a one-day symposium in West Hartford. We were lucky to have Ed Asner drop in as a surprise guest and speak to the audience. I'm going to share his speech with you shortly. There's also a group of victims' family members who are seeking 9/11 truth. Some of them are responsible for getting the 9/11 Commission formed in the first place against resistance from our government. Imagine that, this huge attack on our country, and our government resisted investigating it for 3 years. The family members were not satisfied with the commission report from the very beginning when Henry Kissinger was named the chairman. He resigned when the family members asked him if he had any clients named Bin Laden. These courageous family members made a list of about 400 questions that they wanted the commission to address. Most of them were not addressed or were weakly addressed. You can find a list of these questions and whether they were answered or not on the website 911truth.org. That's 911truth.org. I encourage you to check this out. The family members, in frustration of the lack of media coverage and the whitewash of the 9/11 Commission report, made a movie called 9/11 Press for Truth. You can get a copy at Blockbuster or order your own copy by going to their website 911pressfortruth.com. That's 911pressfortruth.com. They recently released a second movie, too, called In Their Own Words, which you can also get at the 9/11 Press for Truth website. One of the family members, Bob McElvain, spoke at our symposium on November 3rd. I'll be sharing his introduction to the movie 9/11 Press for Truth with you today. Other family members spoke at the symposium, and I'll be sharing those with you on future broadcasts. So now, here's Ed Asner, followed by Bob McElvain, who lost his son in the towers. These speeches are from the November 3rd symposium in West Hartford called 9/11, Family Members, First Responders, and Experts Speak Out. It's such a thrill for me to introduce this man. He's one of the first celebrities to come out and question 9/11, and that takes courage. And you may also remember him from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, from the Lou Grant Show. And it's my great, great pleasure and a real honor to present the 7-time Emmy Award winner and longtime activist, Ed Asner.
Ed Asner for president.
Don't be a fool. And you're not. It's a nice joke. Who would want to be president? It's like one of the trials of Hercules, cleaning up the White House and the country, cleaning up the Augean stables. Was one of Hercules' tasks, and I think cleaning up the White House and cleaning up the government after the departure of these bums would be even more difficult. Even Hercules couldn't achieve it. So it's amazing to me that anybody would want to become president to take on that task. I suppose a lot of people have more vaunted impressions of what they can achieve than they really can. And of course, we have to stick somebody in there. So maybe Ed Asner would be good. It would be like buying a little time until people collected their wits. I'm not wearing black in honor of this occasion. I was approached on the phone in L.A. by Damon to drop by, and I have no speech prepared, thank God, for your sakes. But I did want to come by to say hello, to trade a few words with you. I'm doing a one-man show at the Hartford Stage at 5 o'clock, so this is my wardrobe. That's a Holocaust survivor. He's entitled to wear black. This should be a panoply of bright colors, because these are the bright lights. You are the bright lights of our country. I've never met a dumb one of you yet, and I am honored to be in your presence, because I have a feeling that each and every one of you knows more and is better grounded in 9/11 than I am. I'm merely a name, a catalyst. I open my mouth and people rush to sometimes catch evidence of the gas escaping from it. So I attract attention, but you are the backbones, the spines, the thing that makes this a very viable, worthwhile cause. When I've chosen to talk to people, I run into educators, I run into intelligentsia, I run into well-placed middle-class people, and I attempt to speak of 9/11. And I can see this. And they've really liked me up until that point. But once I start to talk about 9/11, they withdraw. And I, even if this turns out to be full of hot air, which it is not and won't be, and we may never know, as we know the way the intricacies of this democracy works, the so-called democracy, we may never be able to nail them or nail anybody, which is one of my key points in pressing for this, that 9/11 took place with all the phenomenal tragedy that occurred that day, and that this greatest power on earth that ever existed did not negate any of the attempts of terrorists, so-called terrorism, that all of the vaunted defense systems of this greatest power that ever existed could not prevent one act. And since that infamous day, Not one person has ever been punished for laxness, for inefficiency, for anything. I mean, they get busy throwing brickbats at this president or that president, but that's it. And I think that's shocking and shameful. It scares the hell out of me that the people we are trying to convince, the American people, sometimes referred to as the American sheeple, can so blithely go on with their lives and not challenge Big Brother. And then the past few years I've been touring with the Scopes trial. And it's become a very big part of my life and meaningful to me. And there is something to be said that according to polls, all of Western civilization, plus Japan, at least Japan, believe in Darwinism, and at most maybe 1%, maybe 5% believe in creationism. In the United States, you have over 50% of our people who believe in creationism and would, well, three of the leading Republican candidates choose creationism over Darwinism. So we have a whole block of 300 million people, a large proportion of whom will not be led to truth. And that, to my opinion, makes this the hardest country in the world for us to try to prove this point, to try to find the means to get to the truth and exploit that truth. Look at Bill Maher's reaction from what I hear. I didn't see it in recent days. Look at the unbelievable number of people who they don't have time to listen to truth. So I am really thrilled to be around you, to gain some of your power, to gain some of your knowledge, to feed me further. And I will continue to identify with the movement, no matter what is disproved here or what is disproved there, because in the main, the block is there, the block of challenge, the block about the infamy that took place in this country and perhaps by this government. I only know that if John Kerry, for instance, had only defended himself against the lies and the accusations, we might be further ahead on this quest for truth. But such is not the case. And so it falls upon, Al Gore let us down too, for that matter. And so it falls upon us, and I consider myself a little person, and the rest of the little people, to be the, I think it was Van Loon, the historian, who talked about eternity being a bird that came every 10,000 years or so and chipped at a rock like the Rock of Gibraltar. And when the bird finished chipping away at the rock, that would be eternity. And it may well take eternity for us. But what better, more glorious, more sainted effort to pursue for those who died and for all those who have died in their name. And that must be our cause, and that's what we must pursue. And I thank you for letting me talk to you.
At this point, it gives me great pleasure to introduce a family member who was in the movie 9/11 Press for Truth, Robert McElvain, father of Robert Jr., Princeton class of 1997, assistant vice president of media relations for Merrill Lynch & Company, who was attending a banking conference on the 106th floor of the World Trade Center's North Tower in the World Trade Center on 9/11. Please welcome Bob McElvain.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm not going to give one of my talks as of yet. So when I do talk, I just get a feel for the crowd and just whatever comes to mind for me, because, you know, it's a very passionate thing for me. So it's also very emotional. Here it goes again. I know, but it's amazing. You can't believe how many times I've talked. But it still comes down, my son was murdered. And I haven't gotten the answers that I want. And I'm bitter. And I'm angry. So that's why it makes it very difficult. It's tough, like, you know, I talk to so many people, and so many people are rational, and they really have great answers. And this is a fault of mine. And one of the positive things is I bring passion to this. But one of the faults is I want my answers now, immediately, and I want the perpetrators of the murder of my son. And I've spent 6 years going to every commission hearing, talking to so many people. And there's simple, simple questions, just simple questions that the media won't talk about. My God, if I can't have a rational conversation with my neighbor about Tower 7 coming down, they look at me and say, what are you, nuts? These are my neighbors. It's tough to get 5-minute conversation with them. That's insane. Absolutely insane. And this list goes on and on and on and on. Well, here I go again. I'm starting to talk too much. And we're going to have a panel. And I'm sorry. See, this is what happens. I don't want to belabor my issues right now. But my main job right here at this point is to introduce Press for Truth. Now, I'm in Press for Truth. And when it first came out, I met Kyle Hentz when he was, you know, he always came to the commission hearings. And I met a lot of people going to the commission hearings. And he asked me to do a part in Press for Truth. And with that same idea that I was just talking to you, at first I didn't like Press for Truth because I didn't get my answers. I understood what they were doing, but I was upset. Again, I want to name people. And I understand why we just can't come out and name people, because I see Steve here, we have to stick to science. We have to stick to what we can prove. We can't speculate. Well, I have a very difficult time doing that. I want to name names. I feel Cheney was part of it. I feel just by going to those commission hearings, it was a cover-up. You know, and you say to yourself, why would they be covering this up? Myers, Eberhardt, all these people. But I have to realize we just got to take this one step at a time. Well, I gave Press for Truth to my relatives, my brother and sister, who were at the beginning. They just looked at me and said, well, I think you've lost your mind. And I said, well, just look at Press for Truth. And what I found about Press for Truth, for the real skeptics or real people, the comfortable people of America who don't want to get involved in this because it's so very difficult to do, Press for Truth is a sort of a comfort zone for them. They'll look at it and say, geez, there is questions. They're not being overwhelmed with everything about 9/11 because people do get overwhelmed. I mean, you talk about the towers, you talk about a hand jar, the possibility, the flyers can't possibly do this, that, and it just goes on. And people look at me and say, well, this, I can't take this. And it's tough. So Press for Truth just gives that comfort zone for people that it's planting a seed. For my brother and sister, it really changed their lives. My sister, I remember before, I mean, how could America possibly do something like this? Now, this wasn't at the time where I was saying, oh, it was an inside job or something like that. I said, I think the government knew more than they're telling us. I mean, this is in the very beginning. And she said, oh, no. Well, anyway, she came back to me and she almost apologized. She said, you know, I've gone my entire life believing that what our government does is right. And I've always believed that. And she's, you know, 57, 58 years old now. And she says, that's the first time I've looked at our government and said, geez, maybe everything isn't true. So I guess that's what the beauty of Press for Truth is, because it just gives that person a stepping stone. As I'll tell people, don't believe me. there's a lot of information out there. But at least look into that information. And what I've found with friends, and especially my relatives, and they mean more to me than anything, the fact that they at least are, my brother, his son's in the Air Force, has been a flyer. I mean, he wouldn't even think of what I was thinking of, but he saw Press for Truth, and he said, geez, you know, there is a lot to this that I didn't realize. So my job is to introduce Press for Truth. So when Kyle came to me, they came to my house, and I did my thing in Press for Truth. And at first, again, it just wasn't giving me enough answers. But I really do appreciate what Press for Truth has done, because it has opened a lot of people's minds. And that's all that we can expect or I can expect. And I just have to learn to be patient. And I get into more arguments, which I shouldn't be doing, because I have a difficult time confronting people. If someone calls me a conspiracy theorist, well, I'm ready to punch them out. And that's bad. It really is. But I really have a difficult time dealing with people individually. So I should carry Press for Truth around with me. And I think if I start talking to people, just hand it to them. I guess that's my answer, you know, instead of trying to engage people individually. I can engage people as a group, but to do it individually, it's very difficult for me to do. So they're showing, I think, a half-hour clip of Press for Truth. So enjoy. Thank you.
I hope you were as touched by those speeches as I was when I first heard them. I also hope that you'll continue to educate yourself on 9/11 and the other pressing issues that have come about as a reaction to that fateful day. We cannot afford to be sheeple. There's too much at stake. We need everyone working vigorously to take back our country. If not you, then who? Thanks for listening to the first edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I hope you'll join me for future editions.
Can you hear the words being whispered all along the American stream? Tyrants freed, the just are imprisoned. Try to rekindle the patriot's dreams. Perhaps too much is being asked of too few. You and your children with nothing to do. Hear us now, for alone we can't seem to try to rekindle the patriot's dream.